This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes from a relationship with God. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that what the world cannot give, lasting peace and joy, your word can bring to us as we live in a relationship with you. Father in heaven, speak to us through your word this day and cause us to realize that true contentment comes from knowing you as our Savior and our Lord and living according to your will. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, most people strive for happiness and at the end of their life can say, it has been a good time. There have been many happy occasions in my life, far more happy ones than sad ones. And we begin to recall what some of those happy times are. When you stop and think through your life, wasn't Christmas Eve a happy time? It was in our home. We went to church, we came home and had a lovely meal, relatives were around, and after the meal and we'd had our devotions, then we opened gifts, and we were all anxious to see what each one got. That was the happiness of Christmas Eve. It is one of the highlights in my life. And then there's a wedding day. I'll never forget that, will you? What a grand and glorious opportunity that was to show your appreciation to all who had done so much as you and your fiancé became husband and wife, to live together until death do you part. A glorious day. We soon will have celebrated 60 of them, and we thank God for every one. And then comes the birth of our children. Oh, when you could send that first announcement out that we have the joy of telling you that we now have a little girl, or we have a little boy, or we have another little girl. And people are happy and they send their cards and are anxious to greet you and wish you well in the raising of those children. Those are times of happiness. But I picked up a book the other day, and in that book I learned this, and I think that it is so true. If happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust, the loved ones die, health deteriorates, and the money is stolen and the party is all over? You see, he's asking that question because for many people, happiness depends on happenings. And then he tries to bring out, but true joy, which goes far deeper than happiness, depends on one's relationship with God. I love that. Let me read it to you again. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust? The loved ones die, health deteriorates, money is stolen, and the party is over. In contrast to that happiness, there stands joy. Joy that runs so deep, and joy that has with it an inner contentment, no matter what happens. The reference here that I would call your attention to today is found in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at verse 10. Let me read this to you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. Paul uttered these words when he was in prison. It had been a tough time, and Nero had finally conquered him and put him in a cell, and there he sat. Word got to the beloved congregation in Philippi that Paul was there in Rome under the eye of Nero. So they decided, we want to remember our old friend and pastor. And so they had an offering, and they sent that gift of money over to Paul in Rome through the hands of a man called Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was also a member of the congregation. He got to Rome, but when he got there, he was sick. And it took him quite a while to get well. And now the people in Philippi were wondering, well, what's wrong with Epaphroditus? Has he been lost on the way somewhere? Paul sits down and writes them this letter, the letter that gets into our Bible that is found in the book of Philippians. And in this, he says, I want to thank you for sending Epaphroditus. It was so good to have him here. He is truly our brother in Jesus Christ, and he's been very sick, and there were times that I was really worried as to whether or not he was going to get well. But God healed him, and I'm sending him back to you. I want to thank you for the gift, too. You know, it's appreciated a great deal. And I'm sure Paul said that I can use it, but I could have gotten along without it. You see, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. Now, this is a man who is sitting in prison. It is no easy place. And you can be sure that Satan was very concerned that he get a real hold of Paul. And so he could ask him those penetrating questions. Paul, did you ever ask yourself, why are you in prison? Look at what you have done for the Lord. And he's promised to be with you always, even to the end of the age. And here you are, in Nero's prison, probably facing martyrdom. Very well, Satan could have said, why doesn't God destroy an evil man like Nero and save you? How much more you supposedly could do for the Roman Empire than a character like Nero? Now, those were thoughts I am sure that Satan planted or tried to plant in the mind of this great man of God. I wonder if he is still not at it. And I wonder if back in days of World War II, when so many of those brave Christians from Germany were sitting there because they had resisted Hitler, and there they could have been asked those questions too by Satan as they started on the way to the concentration camps, many of them never to return. While we read the stories of some of these brave Christians, like Corrie ten Boom, Bishop Nehemiah, Bishop Hans Lilja, I'll never forget when I heard Bishop Lilja in the parade stadium in Minneapolis. It was right after the war, and he was talking to 10,000 young people who had assembled to hear this man right fresh out of the concentration camp. And his plea was this, young people, hear me. I have gone to the concentration camp, but Jesus Christ went with me. And never once did he leave me. I never was alone. Take him as your Savior. And there stood that bishop proclaiming the word of God. There was contentment in his heart in that great night when he was with all friends and was being honored for some of the great things that God had done through him. But he recalled those days when it was not nearly as nice as it is now. Paul was that kind of a person. He knew that Jesus Christ was with him. He had an inner strength, an inner peace, an inner contentment. Now you're asking, well, how in the world did he get it? And I think that portions of this great book of Philippians identify that very well. For example, in the 4th chapter, verse 4, he says, I've always had the feeling that the Lord is at hand, and I know that he had not deserted me. I could not be with my friends all the time, but Jesus was always there. In verse 7 of that same 4th chapter, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then he talks about the peace of God. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Turmoil outside, restlessness, and all the rest that goes with it. But there is an inner peace, and it was relying on that peace that Paul was content in whatsoever state he found himself. And then he says, you know, my citizenship is in heaven, and I eagerly await the Savior. Eagerly awaits the Savior. What could Nero do? Oh, he could burn him at the stake. He could throw him to the wild beast. He could crucify him. He could do all kinds of things. But when the last breath is drawn, then St. Paul says, I am with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was not just a lesson that he had learned. This was a dynamic truth that the Holy Spirit had taken and poured into his heart. So in that hour of recall, he remembered, my citizenship is in heaven. I am here now, but I am a child of the King. That was one way that Paul was able to say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Jesus Christ was with him. And there's another one, perhaps a little bit easier to understand. There was a fellowship of believers. You know, friend, we cannot in any way underestimate the fellowship of believers. We need people around us. We are social beings, and we need to know that someone is standing with us. And so Paul would talk about these people who came to his cell and visited with him. And what do you suppose they talked about? Oh, I think they must have talked about that grand and glorious experience when it was so hard, and all of a sudden they got that inner power from within to stand up and say, yes, I am a child of God, and you too should become a Christian. You too should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship with those saints was something that Paul could not get along without. We need that fellowship with believers. I believe that even some, well, it says even some of the Roman guards began to listen to Paul. We don't know how many he might have converted to Jesus. Can't you imagine someone being sent down there to guard this disciple? And Paul begins to talk to them about Jesus and tells them what Jesus has done, and why he's there, and what he can do for that particular guard. And then probably when it all is quiet and no one is around, the guard says, what can I do? And Paul says to him, invite him into your life. And a guard kneels with Paul and asks Jesus Christ to be a part of his life. And then Paul prays, and the guard comes back the next day and the next day and the next day, and he grows in the faith. And even when Paul has been out of the prison, the guard is a true child of the Savior. Paul says, that's what keeps me going. It's first the fellowship with Jesus Christ, and then it's fellowship with my fellow believers. We need that fellowship. The secret of being content is right here before us. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, are we looking for happiness or are we looking for joy? Do we just want something on the surface that when the party is over, the happiness is gone? Or do we want something to go with us to the very, very difficult times of life? Well, if your wish goes no deeper than happiness, you can attain it. Happiness depends on happenings. Make something happen, and you can be happy, at least for a little while. This is especially true, I think, if we have a little money. We don't have to have a lot of it, but a little money, because you'll know that money, for a very brief period of time, can buy some happiness. Money for a little while can buy some happiness, but it cannot buy lasting joy. The Bible shows us through the life of Paul how true joy is attained, and with it, contentment. It takes a living relationship with Jesus Christ to be repetitive. It sends us to the cross and causes us to realize that when we trust Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and we are His forever. We live with that whole understanding of forgiveness. Because when we look back over yesterday and the way that we acted and the things that we thought, it was not pleasing to God. But if we came in confession and faith, His grace, which is new every morning, sustains us, directs us, guides us, and leads us to a stronger relationship with our Savior. My wife is in a round robin. You know what a round robin is? That's a letter that goes around and around and around to a circle of friends. And as they read all of the letters, they have to put another one in. Well, she is in a round robin letter that once had 10, now one has gone to be with the Lord, and so there are 9. And it came to our house last week. I don't know whether I'm supposed to read that robin or not, but if I get a chance to, I do. I just really enjoy it. It's a thrill. It's a real Christian testimony. These Robins, as they call them, are college friends. They started college together, and they had great days there in the classroom and in the evenings together. All of them are Christians, not just members of the church. They're Christians who really trust Jesus Christ. All of them are in their late 70s or their early 80s, and so they know that most of their life is over. Well, 4 or 5 times a year, I look at that, Robin, when it comes to our home. It's interesting to read. Nearly every one of them share their aches and their pains, and that's natural, and their family concerns, and there are some, if not the children, now the grandchildren. But I don't sense the way they write it that they're complaining. Underneath there is an upbeat, and they're writing simply to get the support from the other women who are in the circle. They tell about how God is blessing them. And then once in a while they'll say, would you remember me or this member of my family in your prayers? And the others come back and say, we can assure you that we will. We are remembering you. Will you remember me? It is a joy. It is a mighty group of women. I wish one set of nine letters could be printed, that people could see the fellowship that is needed if there is going to be inner contentment. Much like St. Paul, we need the support. We need the support that comes first from our Heavenly Father as we sing, we are in our Father's hands. That is where the contentment is. But oh, how we need one another. And so, my friend, we add another great statement from Scripture. And the saying is this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. In your hours of discontent, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can turn to Him, to your brothers, and to your sisters, and that peace which passes all understanding will truly keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we confess to thee that we are often restless, but help us to realize how right the Church Father Augustine was when he declared, "A person is restless until he rests in you." So help us to distinguish between joy and happiness. Cause us to realize that happiness for a little while can be bought, but then it's gone. When the toys rust, the money fades away, and the party is over. But true joy that is rooted in Jesus Christ shall last forever and carry us to our grave and beyond rejoicing. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for radio time. Your financial gifts enable us to buy radio time on 18 stations throughout the United States and internet access around the world. Many shut-ins depend on this program for their Sunday worship. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. A gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.